Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, here. Welcome to a new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And I'm here to introduce one of the many panels we were able to record, that's including our own, this past Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland, this past December 3rd and 4th, 2016. In this episode, we will hear Chris Smith do his Pokemon Multiverse Theory panel. And I'm going to leave it right here and let him take it away. And I'll see you guys after the panel's over. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. Homesuckers and also Frisk.
Homesuckers and Frisk. Crazy.
So thank you guys for coming to my Pokemon Multiverse Theory panel. This is just a little panel that I have where I talk about... It's one part multiverse and one part timeline analysis. When Pokemon X and Y and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire came out, I was wondering sort of how does everything fit together? And around that time, I looked up this image that I found, where everything is sort of separated into different dimensions of Pokemon. So over here on the left, we have the original six games. Those are classified in what this image maker found called the elementary division dimension. Each version of a game acts as a what-if scenario. So what if you picked a Bulbasaur instead of a Squirtle? What if, as you were walking through Viridian Forest, you found Caterpie easier? What if instead of Caterpie, it was easier to find a Weedle? Stuff like that. Very small changes. Very, very minor things. Technology is very limited in this dimension, and there isn't a whole lot of mythology at all. Anything at all basically bases around the creation of Mewtwo in the Cinnabar Mansion. They talk about how they were able to clone Mew and create Mewtwo. But there isn't really any sort of information about Mew. The main focus of the original six games, Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, and Crystal, focuses on Giovanni and Team Rocket. In my personal theory, I feel like the main reason that Team Rocket takes over Silphco to get the Master Ball is to recapture Mewtwo. I think that in the original story, and if we ever see a remake, I would like to see it fleshed out more, that Team Rocket funded the creation of Mewtwo to use, but Mewtwo escaped, and they were trying to get the Master Ball to recapture Mewtwo. Between Red, Blue, and Yellow, and Gold, Silver, and Crystal, 3 years passes. So that's the first concrete proof we have of games being X amount of years apart. Between these times, these 3 years, a few things change. The power plant that was originally abandoned and run down has been re-outfitted, and with the power plant, they are able to produce much more technology in Kanto. The old Pokemon Tower has been re-outfitted to a radio tower, and the magnet train allows passage between Johto and Kanto very quickly and easily. Other things that happen within these 3 years is that the volcano on Cinnabar Island erupts, destroying almost the entire island, causing Blaine to have to relocate his gym to the nearby Seafoam Islands. Team Rocket still exists. They still operate within these 3 years, but after Giovanni's defeat at the end of Red, Blue, and Yellow, they are trying to rebuild and trying to recontact Giovanni, saying, "Hey, we're still here. Come back, boss." Lance is promoted, or maybe he just moves up from the final member of the Elite Four to champion during these 3 years. And Silver, who is Giovanni's son, is bent on taking down Team Rocket because he blames them for his father's disappearance. Like I said earlier, technology is really limited. They don't have any sort of wireless communications. Any and all communications has to be done physically through a link cable. The only real technological advancement in this dimension exists with the time machine that Bill creates to send things 3 years into the past from Generation 2 to Generation 1. The only real mythology that exists in this dimension are ones based around Mu, which is very, very simplistic. All that we really know is that Mu is believed to be the origin of species for Pokemon. In the Johto region, they do have a few rumors surrounding Lugia and Ho-Oh, and a lot of their really concrete mythology focuses around Celebi and its shrine in the Ilex Forest. I found this tweet a few years ago. This is by a Japanese producer from Game Freak. His name is Matsumiya. And this was his basic timeline layout. That Red, Blue, and Yellow are... Well, Fire Red and Leaf Green are remakes of Red, Blue, and Yellow. So Generation 1. Generation 1 happens at the same time as Generation 3, which is Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, and then their remakes, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. 3 years after that, we have Generation 2, which is Gold, Silver, and Crystal, and then their remakes, Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Those happen simultaneously with Diamond and Pearl and Platinum. Then an undetermined amount of time happens. There's no real concrete number between when these happen and when Generation 5, Black and White, happen. After that, there is the 2 years that pass between Black and Black 2 and White 2. And Black and White 2 happen at the same time as Generation 6, X and Y. So based off of this, I sort of started to look into what is the biggest differences. What happens between them, and can we identify different points in the timeline? For anyone who has played Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, if you have made it to the Battle Resort, you'll find Looker, where he's lost his memory. It almost seems like, because this is the most recent game we had before Sun and Moon, that it happened after everything, but based on this timeline, it's safe to assume that Looker losing his memory was before he joined the International Police. Sort of, he built a new identity and joined the International Police after that. So back to the dimensions. After the elementary dimension, we have sort of the bulk of all the games that happen, the connectivity dimension. These different versions still continue to serve as different events. For example, in Ruby, what if Team Magma is trying to awaken Groudon? In Sapphire, what if Team Aqua is trying to awaken Kyogre? The regions of Hoenn, Sinnoh, and Univer are known alongside Kanto and Johto. It is unknown if Kalos even exists in this dimension. If it does, the war that happened 3,000 years ago in Kalos did not exist in this dimension because Mega Evolution does not exist. Link cable technology has been vastly upgraded and can function wirelessly, although not internationally. When it first begins to develop. Like I said with the timeline tweet that we found from Matsumiya, the events of Hoenn run parallel with the events of Kanto. The efforts of Celio have enabled the two regions to share a link cable system together. The events of Sinnoh run parallel to Johto and happen 3 years after those. These two regions share a history together, which I'll talk about a little later. And in this dimension, the Kanto region has neighboring islands called the Sevi Islands. Whether or not these seven islands exist in the elementary division or not is unknown. Unlike the elementary dimensions, the regions in this dimension have a deep and rich history. Pokemon are very well known and well understood, whereas in the elementary dimension they were sort of just there. They almost seem to be new, and it's like, we just found these. It is unknown if there are more than 650 species of Pokemon in this dimension, or if the fairy type even exists. So it's not, it doesn't exist yet, it's that it doesn't exist at all, because this is a parallel dimension where these regions exist. With the link cable upgrades to being wireless, they do have the GTS, which is basically 3 years after Fire Red, Leaf Green, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, the technology has increased. So that makes a little more sense, instead of just not just our technology as the real world has increased so we can connect wirelessly, but the Pokemon world has too. So with the remakes of Fire Red and Leaf Green, there are a couple subtle differences. Instead of being wired, they do have a wireless adapter, so Link Cable is wireless. As I mentioned, Celio, Bill's friend, he lives on the Sevii Islands. He has upgraded the Link transmission system to be able to connect to the Hoenn region. This here is a picture taken from the Pokemon Adventures manga. It has Bill in the front, and then behind him is Lynette and Celio. Lynette is the PC operator of the Hoenn region. With the alternate what-if scenario dimensions for Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, I like to think of Emerald as sort of the true dimension because it has the most amount of events, so it seems like the most concrete of the timeline. Differences between the dimensions are that in Ruby, Team Magma is trying to awaken Groudon, and Team Aqua is trying to awaken Kyogre. In these dimensions, Groudon and Kyogre don't have their primal reversion forms yet. In Emerald, both Team Magma and Team Aqua are working at the same time, not against each other, but just sort of in an arms race. They're both trying to awaken Groudon and Kyogre at the same time. And in Emerald, they do succeed. 3 years later, in the Johto region, Team Rocket is more developed, more advanced, and instead of just a nameless band of Rocket grunts and admins that are trying to recontact Giovanni, they have names. Team Rocket has four major admins in this dimension: Archer, Ariana, Petrol, and Proton. And through the time travel Celebi event that we get in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, we do find out that Giovanni does hear their radio message to him, but due to the time travel where you go back in time and battle him, he still isn't ready to come back and resume his role as leader of Team Rocket. At least that's how he feels. Other differences in this dimension is that the Pokeathlon Dome exists in the Johto region. Not almost. It is exclusive to this dimension. Sort of like a Pokemon Decathlon. Also in this dimension, where it didn't exist in the elementary dimension, the Safari Warden from Fuchsia City has packed up and moved, and he has rebuilt a new Safari Zone just outside of Cyanwood City in the Johto region. So looking back at this timeline, if we look at all of these that happen, you know, we have a three-year gap. It's a concrete three-year gap. They talk about that in Gold, Silver, Crystal, Heart Gold, and Soul Silver. They happen at the same time as the Johto games, Diamond and Pearl, and Platinum. Like with Emerald, I like to think of Platinum as the true timeline just because the most amount of storyline events happen in this version of the series. The big links that really prove that Generation 4 happens at the same time as Generation 2 is that the Battle Frontier is almost identical. It's almost as if it's in the same place. It's unknown if there's some sort of special connection in Johto that brings you to the Sinnoh region where the Battle Frontier is in Pokemon Platinum. Another big link is the Sinjo Ruins. There's a special event here where you can meet up with Cynthia, the champion from Sinnoh. And in this special event, Arceus will create a new Pokemon egg which hatches into a level 1 Palkia, Dialga, or Giratina. A lot of the region's mythology is heavily focused around Arceus for the Sinnoh region. Unlike with Mew and Celebi and Ho-Oh, Pokemon that just sort of were there, they're very old Pokemon. Arceus is almost experienced as the god of the Pokemon region. He created Palkia, Dialga, and Giratina, and then I actually have them here. He created Dialga. He, it, she, they. Arceus created Dialga to rule over time, Palkia to rule over space, and Giratina to rule over antimatter. Antimatter is a little tricky to quantify, but since Giratina was deemed as a violent Pokemon, it was banished to the Distortion World. After creating those three, sort of the origin trio, Arceus also created Azelf, Mesprit, and Uxie. These three are the emotion trio. They bestowed emotions and feelings to humans. At least that's how it goes in the mythology of the Sinnoh region. In Generation 4 games, Team Galactic is trying to create a new dimension for them to rule over. To do this, in Diamond, they capture Mesprit, Uxine, Azelf to awaken Dialga. In Pearl, they awaken Palkia. But in Platinum, they awaken both. So using the power of both, Palkia and Dialga create an opening to the Distortion World, where Giratina is. And it's really unknown what happens to Galactic's leader, Cyrus, after you leave the Distortion World. A lot of people think that he just stays there, and he is the ruler of a dimension full of nothing. Other things that exist, Heatran is in the volcanic area of the Sinnoh region. It is believed that this is not the only Heatran, because there are other volcanoes in other regions where Heatran do show up. So it's sort of a legendary Pokemon that feeds off of volcanic activity, not sort of this is the only one that exists, like Arceus or Palkia or Dialga. These games, while they happen sort of second in the timeline, they're our first experience with Looker. Like I said, in Generation 3, we do meet Looker, and he has lost his memory. So this is sort of after he has either regained his memory or built a new identity for himself as a member of the International Police. An undetermined amount of time happens between Generations 2 and 4, and then Generation 5. Pokemon Black and Pokemon White focus heavily off of the legend of the two heroes, the twin brothers. In this legend, each of the twin brothers had a dragon. One had Reshiram, and one had Zekrom. And they each focused on whether to follow the truth or whether to follow a person's ideals. And because they couldn't really decide on which was the right one to follow, there was a big battle between the two of them. There is a third dragon. Reshiram and Zekrom represent a mythology practice called Taoism, where one represents yin and one represents yang. Good, bad, push, pull. Different, but also equal. Kyurem in Taoism is a representative of Wuji, which is the notion in Taoism that it is the non-existence of yin or yang, the existence of nothing. There are two different possible theories that explain Kyurem. One is that in the giant chasm near Lacunosa town, there was a meteor that fell. This meteor was Kyurem. It's a very cold meteor because Kyurem is an ice type. And there is the rumor that if children go out at night, Kyurem will descend from the giant chasm and come and eat small children. The other idea is that back before the battle between the two brothers, Reshiram and Zekrom were the same dragon. Years later, Reshiram and Zekrom have conserved their power, and they exist as dragon stones. One is fire, one is lightning. But there are people that think that after they split, there was remnants left over, which became Kyurem. This is sort of backed up by the basis that Kyurem does have the ability to fuse with Reshiram or Zekrom into white Kyurem or black Kyurem. But it's really not clear over which is the true, really, history of Reshiram, Zekrom, and Kyurem. The main storyline events that happen in Black and White are that N, the leader of Team Plasma, wants to convince people that, you know, catching Pokemon and keeping them captive is bad, and we should release them and have them be our friends. This is later seen as a ploy by Team Plasma and their leader, Getsis, to trick everyone into releasing all their Pokemon while Team Plasma still keeps theirs, because if no one else has Pokemon, then Team Plasma can use them to take over the region, possibly the world. When looking at the timeline, Black 2 and White 2 happened 2 years after Black and White. So after Getsis is defeated and N leaves the region on Reshiram or Zekrom, depending on which dimension of Black and White you're playing. The two-year difference between Black and Black 2 and White 2 are very small. Getsis is still the leader of Team Plasma, and he is still trying to take over the region. But this time, instead of trying to trick people into releasing their Pokemon, His main plan is to use the new members of Team Plasma without N to capture QRM and use it to basically freeze the region as a power play, saying, it doesn't matter if you have Pokemon or not, I still have the most powerful Pokemon. N does come back with his Reshiram or Zekrom, and QRM is fused into Black QRM or White QRM that you later have to stop. Other differences in this two-year gap is that Charon becomes a gym leader, replacing the brothers of Striaton City, Crest, Chili, and Silen. Roxy becomes a new gym leader, sort of in an island off the coast of the Unova region proper. She replaces Lenora as a gym leader. And Marlin takes over as a new gym leader, replacing Bryson. Bryson? Iris is promoted from one of the two gym leaders of Opelucid City to the region's champion. And the Pokemon World Tournament exists. The Pokemon World Tournament is a good way of really identifying Black 2 and White 2 as the end of the timeline as we know it, because you have access to all of the gym leaders up to this point in the games as we know them that exist. With the exception of a few gym leaders, Koga does not show up in the gym leader tournament because he is now an Elite Four member. He is instead replaced by his daughter Janine, who is the gym leader in the Johto region 3 years after the events of the Kanto games. Likewise, since Iris is now a champion, not a gym leader, she does not show up in any of the gym leader tournaments. One of the really interesting things that I look at when trying to identify how the timeline works is this boat. In Castellia City, there is a big cruise ship called the Royal Unova. In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, there is the aquarium, where they talk about a lot of aquatic vessels. They talk about the SS Anne from the Kanto region. They talk about the deep sea submarine that exists in the Hoenn region. But one of the other things they mention is that there is a model of the Royal Unova. And it doesn't say how many years away it is to completion. It says due to be completed in ? Number of years. So while that does show us that Gen 3, even the remakes happened before Gen 5, it doesn't give us a concrete time. All we know is that Generation 3 sitting at the top of the timeline happens at least 5 years before Black 2 and White 2. But the Royal Unova does exist in both Black and White and Black 2 and White 2. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with the dimension that we have with the most recent games that exist on the 3DS, as well as Pokemon Bank. This is identified as the Infinity Dimension, named after the Infinity Energy that powers the ultimate weapon in X and Y. All known regions of the Pokemon world exist. The events of Kalos run parallel to the events of Unova during the second attempted takeover by Team Plasma. The link cable has existed far beyond the capabilities of other dimension systems. International and worldwide connectivity exists, as well as the ability to pull Pokemon out of time to transfer them up with the Pokemon Bank. In the Infinity Dimension, a great war took place 3,000 years ago that ties the history of Kalos and Hoenn together, as well as the creation of Infinity Energy. Infinity Energy is also known as Fuel, which is created by draining the life force of living beings. It is said to be the dimension's most powerful energy source, and is also the basis for the creation of Mega Evolution. Following off the dimensions that exist as what-if scenarios, X and Y are probably the closest to Red and Blue, where they don't have a whole lot different between them. The only real difference between them is that Xerneas represents life, whereas Yveltal represents death, but they both have access to the infinity energy of the region. 3,000 years ago, the king of Kalos had a Floette. His name was AZ. His name still is AZ because he's still alive. It was a very special Floette, and it was his dearest friend, but during a war that took place 3,000 years ago, it passed away. In his sadness, he created a machine that would bring it back to life, but it also acted as a weapon. He wasn't just satisfied with bringing Floette back to life. He wanted to end the war by creating basically a weapon of mass destruction, and nothing ends wars quite like weapons of mass destruction. 3,000 years later, his descendant Lysander uses Team Flare to use the power of Infinity Energy, as well as the legendary Pokemon of the region, Xerneas and Yveltal, to basically reactivate the ancient weapon and wipe out everyone except for Team Flare. So looking back at the timeline, instead of Ruby and Sapphire happening at the same time, it gets confusing, and this was the reason I looked most into what happens when. How do the games interact with each other? Because Mega Evolution exists in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but it happens at least 5 years before X and Y happens, maybe even 10 years before. In Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire, they follow very closely to the original Ruby and Sapphire games. They don't really focus on the storyline that Emerald presented, where both Team Magma and Team Aqua are working at the same time to awaken Groudon and Kyogre simultaneously. In this, only one team is trying to awaken either Groudon or Kyogre. And in this dimension, they have access to a form called Primal Reversion. Rayquaza does still play a big part, as it did in Emerald, where it has the ability to Mega Evolve into Mega Rayquaza. Zinnia, who is the descendant of a race of people from Hoenn called the Draconid people, is trying to help Team Magma or Team Aqua, depending on the different dimensions, to awaken Primal Groudon or Primal Kyogre in order to try to trigger Rayquaza's Mega Evolution. This is because, as we learn in the Delta episode, a meteor is heading towards the region, which will wipe out most of it. The original plan is to use Infinity Energy to send the meteor that is heading towards Hoenn into a different dimension, a completely different dimension. In the older versions of Ruby and Sapphire, as well as Fire Red and Leaf Green, there is an island called Birth Island where there exists a single triangle. Throughout a puzzle, you learn that this triangle is actually Deoxys. Deoxys is a legendary Pokemon that comes from space. It is born from a meteor, the same meteor that is attacking. During the Delta episode, Zinnia proposes that if they are able to send the meteor to an alternate dimension, what happens to that dimension? So Zinnia's plan is instead to awaken Mega Rayquaza to battle Deoxys. Do I have that slide? Yeah, I do. So not only are Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire what-if alternate versions of each other, but there is also an alternate what-if version of what if Mega Rayquaza doesn't fly into space and fight Deoxys before the meteor hits Earth? What if they are able to send that meteor to an alternate dimension? What if that Deoxys that you encounter in the old Ruby and Sapphire games is this same Deoxys that they were just able to send to another dimension? There are a couple extra things. That's just sort of the timeline analysis that I have that lays out how everything happens basically when. Other things that play off of the multiverse theory up to Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon introduces a whole lot of extra stuff. I'm waiting a couple months to add that stuff in just in case people want to get the games, but they haven't yet. I don't want to spoil anything, but there are a lot of interdimensional, multidimensional things that are talked about in that. In their Pokedex entries, there are a lot of Pokemon that talk about interdimensional travel. Bronzong is revered in some cultures as a rain god because it has the power to pull rain clouds out of another dimension to bring them to desert regions that wouldn't normally have access to rain. But the biggest real showing of different dimensions and alternate dimensions is the existence of Hoopa. In Omega and Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Hoopa exists as sort of a prankster Pokemon. It pulls other legendary Pokemons out of other dimensions using special rings that it has. For any of you guys who have seen the Hoopa movie, it does the same thing there. It's a little more complicated than Celebi's time travel. In the fourth Pokemon movie, they kind of touch on the concept of there is just one Celebi, but it exists at multiple points in time. So as it travels through time, it creates another version of itself. There can be a Celebi in this timeline, a Celebi that exists in the past, and a Celebi that exists in the future. And through time travel power, they can all come together and meet and exist in the same space, but they're all the same Celebi, even if they show up as three different incarnations. It's like the you from 5 minutes ago. What if the you from 5 minutes ago ordered a pizza, and now you have pizza? Do you guys have any questions or anything that, you know, this panel has made you guys think about based off of just Pokemon and dimensional craziness? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. With Sun and Moon out, I will be able to add a lot more time to this panel. Do any of you guys have Sun and Moon? Are you far in it?
Oh, you barely started. You know,
It's gonna get a little crazy.
I'm like the end of the second island.
Yeah, after the second island, it starts to get crazy. So just get ready for that. There's a lot of craziness that goes on with that. And I really made this panel. I had the concept for it about a year ago before Sun and Moon came out. So I did this panel at a convention 2 weeks ago in New Jersey. And I'm like, Pokemon just came out, guys. I don't really know how it works with the whole multiverse theory. And then I got further and was like, this is everything. This game is just about dimensions. So, again, thank you guys so much for coming. I will be back here at 6 o'clock with Michelle Knox, the voice of Jesse from Team Rocket. We will be having a Pokemon party panel. We've got game shows and all kinds of crazy stuff going on, so definitely come back over here at 6 o'clock. We'll have a lot of fun with that. Thank you guys so much.
Again, that was Chris Smith and his Pokemon Multiverse Theory panel. I would like to take this moment to say thank you, Chris, for allowing us to record your panel. And I hope you, the listener, have enjoyed this panel and hearing Chris talk about the Pokemon Multiverse. For some of you who might have a good ear, you might have heard some sounded like cuts made. That's because Chris tended to pause while he adjusted slides, because part of his panel was a little bit visual. So there were pauses of maybe about 3 to 5 seconds in some spots. So the only editing I did was try to trim those spots down a little bit, so the whole panel kind of flowed a little bit better. Some of the longer pauses that might be there is that... So that, because if I took those pauses out, it would have interrupted the flow that Chris was trying to do. I amplified two spots, is when he was talking to a couple of people in the audience. And yes, they sounded like they were added in, but it was a way so you, the listener, could hear what those people said. So stay tuned to the Long Coat Mafia podcast on iTunes, our website, and everything else to hear the other panels if they have not dropped it yet, and the other interviews that we have yet to be posted. If you wish to know, we are on iTunes and Google Play Music, as well as our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. If you have any questions for Chris or us, you can easily email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to pass those questions on to Chris himself. And you can also message us on Facebook if you prefer that, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/thelongcoatmafiapodcast. You can drop us a line there. We'd be more than happy to do the same, answer your questions, or pass off questions to Chris if need be. What else? Our Twitter is Long Coat Mafia, and our Instagram is also Long Coat Mafia. So please like, subscribe, and everything else. Also, if you listen to us on iTunes, please like and subscribe there. Liking our podcast on and reviewing it on iTunes does help in a way that some of you might not really realize. But still, I'll end it there. Stay tuned to our social media and our website and iTunes and Google Play Music to listen to everything else. And have a good day.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.